This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
In this hour on Charlottesville Right Now, we are going to talk about the story of some citizen activists from Louisa County who took on the state and federal governments and, if that's not enough, one of the world's largest multinational corporations, and they won. This is a true story of citizen activists, and we are honored to welcome live into the studio for the first time, Ray Ely joins Charlottesville Right Now. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Now, we are celebrating an anniversary. We're kicking off the 40th anniversary. 39 years ago this week is when it all started there in Louisa County, and you were there. So we want to hear this story, but let's start first with a Ray Ely 101. We'll back up and just tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Louisa County.
Well, I suppose it's the hand of fate brings people where they end up. But my husband and I had a lovely farm in New Jersey. We were raising three little children, and development was overtaking the area in New Jersey where we lived. And as we looked out on our beautiful view, what we saw were miles of subdivisions springing up like dandelions after a spring rain. And we thought there must be a better place to live, and I had always thought of Virginia as the promised land. So we had been in visiting in Washington and drove down to Charlottesville, and had a friend who, while we were visiting, picked up the telephone and called a realtor. And the realtor came running over and said, "Well, I know of some farms that are for sale," and insisted that we go right that minute and look at some properties. So one thing led to another, and before we knew it, we'd made an offer on a farm in Louisa County. And within a few months, we were resettled in the western end of Louisa. We sold our farm in New Jersey, which before too long fell under the bulldozer and became another subdivision, which we were sorry to see. But we thought to ourselves, at last we can live in peace in beautiful Louisa County and never have to think about development again. But it wasn't too long. In fact, as you said, Coy, it was 39 years ago this week that our family was sitting around the television in our living room when the governor of Virginia, Governor Linwood Holton, came on the television and said he had a major announcement to make. And he announced that a large portion of the state penitentiary in Virginia was going to be relocated, and announced that it would be relocated 2 miles north of Zion's Crossroads on Route 15. And my husband and I looked at each other, and we said, "My goodness, we live 2 miles north of Zion's Crossroads on Route 15. So that was the beginning of the great Green Springs battle.
We're talking live with Ray Ely. She's live in studio. And the Green Springs battle, of course, is there's many chapters in this story, and we want to hear as much of this as we can. It is a fascinating, true story of citizen activists, of people standing up against the government and saying, "I don't support that. I cannot support that, and I will fight you on that." And we were talking before we went on the air about when you started this 39 years ago, this wasn't really something that you did. I mean, there were college students, of course, with their protests and taking over buildings. But as far as, you know, matronly women or, you know, getting involved, it just really wasn't done.
Well, this was the surprise. We immediately rallied in our neighborhood, and the people who rallied were mainly farmers. And we asked ourselves, what do we do next? And nobody knew. And as we began to think about it and looked into it, we realized that there were no examples There was no role model, no one. We called a couple of lawyers, and they laughed at us. And basically, they said, you can't fight City Hall. And when the governor says he's going to build a prison in your rural historic community, then you better get ready to have a huge maximum security prison in your community. And at that time, and we're talking now about, it was May 29th, 1970, the only real activism that any of us had ever seen, of course, was the civil rights movement, which had occurred in the 60s. And we thought about that, and we thought, well, there have got to be some lessons that can be learned from what happened in the civil rights movement. And with those ideas in mind, we set off to find a single lawyer who would represent our interests. And
Ray, when did you know, when did you sense, as you're having these, I'm assuming you're having these meetings at people's homes in the afternoons and the evenings, and everybody, you know, somebody's making coffee and you're sitting around talking about how do we save our farms and fight the state. When did you have the sense that you were the leader of this group, that you were coming forward as one of these spokespeople, the leaders of this group of citizens in Virginia?
Well, I don't know how people emerge as leaders. It's an interesting thing, I think, that people have studied. I think there have been sociological studies done about that, but it's mostly happens by default when no one else will do it.
But oftentimes, the leader is the one who's willing to do the work.
The leader is the one who's the last one standing.
Yeah.
But actually, there were so many people involved. I may have been the one who took a lot of the shots, but there were certainly huge numbers of people who were involved, because one of the things that had to happen is a lot of money had to be raised. We were finally successful in finding a great, great criminal lawyer, a great civil rights lawyer, who said that he would learn environmental law. We think today of environmental law as being a very common and ordinary term, but in 1970, nobody had ever heard the word ecology or historic preservation or environmental law. This was a brand new thing. And this wonderful lawyer said that he would study and he would learn. And we said, well, we'll raise the money. And that was the beginning of a lot of bake sales. a lot of house tours and a lot of activities that generated money to keep the battle going.
We're talking with Ray Ely live in studio about the historic Green Springs Battle of Louisa County, Virginia, which began 39 years ago this week. When did the governor, Governor Holton, the first Republican governor in the 20th century, when did he realize that y'all were out there? When did you get on his radar where he knew, my goodness, these folks down in Green Springs are serious?
Well, it took a long time for Governor Holton to realize that there was a problem. One of the remarkable things was the convergence of events that were going on in the nation at that time. As I indicated, he made his announcement the end of May of 1970, but what we didn't know and what he didn't know is what was happening in the Congress at the same time. A wonderful United States senator known as Scoop Jackson was in the process of pushing legislation through Congress known as the National Environmental Policy Act. And that congressional act took effect on July 1, 1970. And almost at the same time, another act known as the National Historic Preservation Act also was signed into law. And when we discovered that there were now federal laws that could assist us, we were one of the first lawsuits in the federal courts in 1970 to bring an injunction, to ask for an injunction against this prison being built because of its impact on our historic area. And when we filed this federal suit, I believe that began to get the attention of the governor, because what we had done, we learned that the that federal money was going into the funding of this prison. And so we sued to enjoin the application of federal funds into the state. Into the state facility.
So then you're not only taking on the state of Virginia, now you're taking on the U.S. government.
That is right. And then the thing that we didn't know at that time was that President Nixon had identified a special program for funding of prisons and other facilities as a new program in the United States for putting in funds that would be exempt from environmental laws. So I know it sounds hard to believe, but at that point, the White House got involved as well. So we had immense litigation going on, which attracted national attention.
Yeah, you were in the national press, weren't you?
The national press, Time Magazine got involved, the New York Times, Washington Post.
These farmers and these women down in Louisa County are taking on Nixon. What are they thinking of?
Well, we couldn't believe it. The litigation got so tremendous, but that also generated publicity, which created a lot of contributions that we hadn't ever expected. We were getting money from sources. We had contributions from people that said, normally I give this amount to the Republican Party, but I'm so disgusted with what they're doing. This year we're giving it to you. So we had some really funny things happen.
Yeah. So what's it like now in Green Springs as this is going on, as, you know, you're starting to get this national press and you're in Time Magazine and Governor Holton is mad at you, Nixon is mad at you, there's lawsuits flying every which direction. What's it like, you know, at your house?
It was very stressful. It was very stressful. It's hard to raise three little children and keep this kind of activity going, particularly when you don't have any training and background for this type of thing. It was very stressful on all our neighbors because we had to keep the money flowing. We had to keep the bake sales going. And no one in our neighborhood, you know, we had dairy farmers. We had cattle ranchers, people who were out trying to take in their hay while at the same time they're trying to raise money. The good thing, there were so many good things happening. At that time, the Secretary of the Interior was a man by the name of Rogers Morton. And a very funny thing happened. We got a call from the Department of Interior indicating that the Secretary wanted to know exactly where Green Springs was. And he was informed, and we were told that he got very unhappy. Because it turned out, as a boy, he had gone to Woodbury Forest School, which is right up the road from Green Springs.
Yeah, yeah.
And his mother and father had lived in Richmond while he was at Woodbury Forest. And on weekends, Friday, when he was returning to Richmond, he would stop in Green Springs at one of the homes there, and they would give him milk and cookies. So the secretary at that point pledged his support for Green Springs, and of course this was a Republican Secretary of the Interior, and at that point confronted Governor Holton about what was happening.
So that was a turning point then?
That was one of the major turning points, because the Secretary of the Interior ordered that a study be made of Green Springs, and that led to the area being designated a National Historic Landmark, which was the first rural national landmark in America.
No kidding. Wow. All a direct result of these neighbors who got together and were angry at the fact that a governor wanted to plop a prison down in there on their farms.
Well, things appeared to be going well, and the federal lawsuit, the judge ruled in our favor and said that the construction of the prison violated federal law. And Governor Holton then was quite annoyed. So he then decided to pull the federal money out of the prison and replace it with state money so as to be able to build the prison anyway. That led to another federal lawsuit saying, you can't do that. once you commit to federal funds, you're stuck with the federal funds. And so you can't, in effect, shuffle the money around to avoid federal law.
So at that point, you think Holton knew that his plans had been beaten?
No. The case went back to the federal courts, went all the way up to the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and was finally appealed to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did not take it. But during this time, when it was nip and tuck, really, as to how the prison issue was going to come out, we had an absolute bombshell dropped on us by, as you mentioned, the W.R. Grace Company, which at that time was the 43rd largest multinational in the world, saying that they had found the mineral vermiculite in the Green Springs area and that they planned to strip mine the area for the next 80 years.
We're talking with Ray Ely about the historic Green Springs battle. We'll take a break for local news and get a weather update, and we'll pick up right there when we get back. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
To flag our United States of America, to republic, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, justice, only.
37 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. Happy little Friday. It's about 60 degrees. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining me. Let's rejoin our conversation with attorney Ray Ely. We're discussing the historic Green Springs battle. Citizen activists take on the state and federal government and the 43rd largest multinational in the world, and they win. And Ray, we have to say, this is an incredibly rare thing. People stand up all the time. They don't always win. I mean, what was the key, you think? What, looking back at this truly, I mean, you and your neighbors helped to create this modern environmental movement right here in Virginia, in Central Virginia. You helped to put historic preservation on the map. What is it, looking back, you think that was the key to the things that you did that are the lessons for the future?
Well, I work with a lot of groups around the country, and you can often see the difference between those that are really determined to make a difference and those that really just sort of sit around and talk about it. The difference is making a determination not to do just whatever's convenient about making a change, but to make a determination that you're going to do whatever it takes to accomplish your goals. And in Green Springs, it certainly was costly. There were personal sacrifices paid by everyone who was involved. But we felt that if Green Springs was lost, the loss was irreversible and there was not another Green Springs. And we felt that we had to do whatever it took to make sure that not only that the maximum security prison wasn't built there, but also that the area was not strip mined for vermiculite. And we simply made the determination to fight as long and as hard as we had to make sure it didn't happen.
39 years ago this week, the struggle began in Green Springs in Louisa County, Virginia, fighting Governor Linwood Holton's plans to put in a state prison backed with federal money. So the next thing you know, you're fighting President Nixon as well. And then amidst all the lawsuits and the national media, comes W.R. Grace onto the scene, and tell us who they were and what they wanted to do in Louisa County.
Well, the Green Springs area is a rare geological formation, and it was discovered that it contains the world's third largest deposit of vermiculite. And the Grace Company at that time was in the vermiculite mining business, and they already had an enormous deposit in Libby, Montana. And they wanted to mine Green Springs, and we didn't want them, of course, to mine there. So when they announced that they were coming into Green Springs, we then had to study and learn everything there was to know about vermiculite, the components that go into vermiculite, and we were very concerned that it contained asbestos materials, which, of course, has turned out to be a huge problem for the Grace Company in Libby, Montana. And Grace now has gone into bankruptcy, and they've been involved in years of litigation over the deaths and the illnesses of people in Libby, Montana. The short of the story, after years of litigation with W.R. Grace, and after I personally bought 10 shares of Grace stock, and my organization bought 10 shares of Grace stock, and I went to all the shareholder meetings for 20 years and got to know the president of the Grace Company. And just before he died, Peter Grace, the chairman of the board, arranged for all of the land holdings, nearly 1,300 acres of land that the Grace Company owned in historic Green Springs, was given to our organization as one of the largest charitable gifts that the company had ever made. So Historic Green Springs now owns all that vermiculite-bearing land. Well, we've owned it, and that's now been converted into our revolving fund with which we do all our charitable work now.
And all this land is under conservation easement in Louisa County.
Historic Green Springs has been successful now in getting most of the historic district under conservation easement. We have about 13,000 acres.
My goodness.
Under conservation easement in and adjacent to the historic district.
Could you do that today? Could a new group do what y'all did in the 70s? Do you see that even possible today?
Well, I like to think it could be done today, but it wasn't easy then, and it wouldn't be easy today, but I like to think that a group could do it if they made up their mind to do it.
Tell me, we're talking with attorney Ray Ely, and the phone lines are open if you got a question, 977-1070. Tell me, Ray, when did you know that you had won the battle? Tell us about those days when Holton's efforts to put in the prison in Green Springs failed, and when W.R. Grace finally relented and gave up their fight to mine.
It was one of the most amazing set of circumstances that I've ever seen in my life. Governor Holton went out of office in 1974, and Governor Mills Godwin came into office. One of the first things that Governor Godwin did when he came into office was make a study of the problem with the prison going into Green Springs. By the time Governor Godwin came into office, the prison was already being constructed. And Mills Godwin met with me and several other people, and he went on television, had a press conference. He said he found that the opponent's arguments were convincing and compelling. He ordered the construction of the prison halted, and bulldozers came in and destroyed the construction that was underway. And a giant helicopter came in and hooked on to the big water tower that they had built and flew that water tower up in the air and over Green Springs and carried it away. That was on one day, and the following day the courts ruled in our favor against the W.R. Grace Company. So within 48 hours, we won both the prison battle and the mining battle.
So what was it like in Green Springs?
Our feet did not touch the ground. We were so elated we could not believe that these two battles were won within 48 hours.
And of course, we look back now at this battle. We call it a battle. This really history-making episode of citizen activism in Virginia. Tell us about the legacy of what y'all did. And we look back now, and you probably couldn't even realize at the time the legacy that you were ultimately responsible for.
Well, certainly no one knew when we started that this would drag out for years. And I can't say that after those two struggles were over that it was been peaceful since then. There have been a number of other struggles that have occurred since that time. There was another mining company that was very unhappy about the Grace Company turning over its mineral reserves to us. And that company sued both the Grace Company and Historic Green Springs over the gift by Grace of the land to us. So we had that to deal with. There are other issues concerning the withdrawal by Louisa County of groundwater from under historic Green Springs. So the struggle goes on because historic Green Springs is so rich in natural resources. So I don't think that there'll ever be a time when there won't be something in Green Springs to worry about. But as far as those two great battles of the 70s, those we laid to rest. And the good thing is that many other preservation groups around the country have had the benefit of those successes to look to as they have gone about trying to win their own battles.
We're talking about a significant body of case law, are
That's
we
right.
not?
Yes. The early prison cases that were in the federal courts were major landmark cases.
Wow. We're talking with attorney Ray Ely. Now, what was it like for you as ultimately the spokesperson for this movement, the leader of this movement, representing all the citizens there of Louisa County who were fighting both W.R. Grace and the federal and the state government's efforts to put in a prison there? What was it like for you in the media? I mean, you did a bunch of media. You did WINA back in the day. What was it like for you? You were telling me during a break that, boy, you got some angry calls when you'd get on the radio.
Well, yes. There were a lot of unhappy people. There's always a counteraction to every action, and the Louisa County was very unhappy to lose the jobs that they felt the prison would bring in. So there were a lot of when there would be radio shows like this, when we'd get a lot of unhappy people calling in. But I think the funniest thing that ever happened in the public relations angle is one day I was hardly awake and my phone rang and my local mechanic was calling to ask me how my car was. And I said, well, my car's just fine. Why do you ask? And he said, well, he had been reading Playboy that morning, and he had seen the story about me and Historic Green Springs in Playboy. And I said, well, I haven't seen that. But it turned out that one interview that we had done had made its way as a major article in Playboy that I hadn't known about. So the mechanic was calling to see how my car was.
We've been talking about Historic Green Springs. Tell us about it. For folks who've never seen this, what are we talking about?
Well, Green Springs is a... Well, first, let me tell you that when I first got to Green Springs, I would talk to the old-timers there, and they said that it was formed from a prehistoric lake bed or an old volcanic... formed from a prehistoric volcanic area. And so we finally had studies done, and it actually is... It's about a 15,000-acre volcanic area where it's quite different from the land that lies outside it. It's about 6.5 miles long and 4.5 miles wide, and the soils are entirely different from the area that surrounds it. And the Quakers discovered this area in about 1670, and began to build some houses there. And then the Virginia planters came around 1730. And from then until the present, there have been about 250 original 18th and 19th century houses built there that are all permanently preserved today. And there's almost nothing that's modern in the area. So you can come to Green Springs today and see what is essentially a house museum that starts in the 1670s and continues to the time of the Civil War.
Wow. And intact and looks like it. That landscape is a very historic landscape.
It's absolutely it's absolutely original. And if you came to Green Springs today and looked around, you wouldn't know what century you were in if it weren't for the automobiles.
Ray, before we let you go, we've been talking about Green Springs and Louisa County and this really historical moment in Virginia and for the nation. But you also moved to that area, what, 67?
That's right, in 1967.
So you've seen Albemarle County, which is right next door, and many, many trips to Charlottesville. And what are your thoughts on some of the changes you've seen in Albemarle County? Or tell us what it was like when you first got here in 67.
Well, when I first got to Albemarle County in 1967, it was farmland all down Route 29 right to Barracks Road Shopping Center. There was nothing until you came. There were cows in the fields right to Barracks Road, and the population was just a small percentage of what there is today, and there was almost no traffic in the town. I mean, there was reasonable traffic, but nothing like what you see today. And so many people who were in Charlottesville and Albemarle in the early 70s pleaded with the county government then to do careful planning for the area and to have projections drawn up and to have a comprehensive plan and stick with it and not give variances to everybody who requested it. And, of course, that hasn't happened. So today in Albemarle, we have gridlock. We have traffic that will rival traffic I've seen in New York City. And we've had the loss of wonderful, wonderful farmland. And personally, yeah, it makes me very sad.
Now, what do you say to the folks who would argue, well, you know, development happens and the developers have to make a living and the real estate folks have to make a living and all the folks in the trades who build homes and shopping centers, this is good business?
Well, I would say, where does it end? Where does it end? What do we sacrifice? Are we going to pave over everything? People have done very well by protecting Green Springs. That's been economically viable. It's been a success story. Nobody's lost any money by preserving Green Springs. And I would submit that Albemarle County has been such an irreplaceable treasure that no one would have ever lost any money by protecting it and preserving it in as much its natural and original condition as possible. But that's my opinion.
Is it too late?
A lot of the original character of Albemarle County is lost. But I would love to see, even now, a comprehensive plan done and then a governing body that was determined and dedicated to sticking with it.
To genuine, sincere preservation.
Yes.
Attorney Ray Ely, the leader of the historic battle Green Springs, Louisa County. This interview will be archived at WINA.com and SevillePodcast.com. Ray, I can't thank you enough for being here. I've really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.